Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Thing I Love Most show with myself, Noel Valbon. Once again, we are loving Spurs. We are loving life. We are loving being a Yid. It's been a good week, a surprising week in a lot of ways. And so we've got quite a lot to discuss. So on the line, we have Mr. Lee Curtin. Hello, Lee.
Good evening.
Hi, Lee. We've got Kofi all the way up in Liverpool with his Tottenham shirt on that you can't see, but you're looking fine, young man. How are we doing, Kofi?
Evening, La. I'm fine.
Good stuff. Evening, La. Is that... Oh, man. I forgot. What is that? Get right out. Get in the sea with that. Get in the Mersey. Get in the Mersey with that chat, La. Flipping hell. I can't believe it. And we have Mr. John Jones. How are we doing, John? You all right?
Very good. Very good. Good to speak to you.
Okay, good stuff. All right. So, obviously, we had a little catch-up last week after we had a bit of a special after the Mourinho announcement and obviously the Poch sacking. So, we had our first game under Mourinho on Saturday, a 3-2 victory, a sort of incredibly easy game, I think, is the only way to describe it. I was really, really surprised. I wasn't really surprised at how bad West Ham were. I think I was more surprised at how bad the fans were. And I know that obviously we were 3-0 up at the time, but I felt when they did eventually score, that would have at least been a catalyst for some form of atmosphere. But it was flat. It was really, really flat. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. And I thought that was like their cup final. I thought they'd be more up for it. But I think they just, in general, they are almost like we were sort of towards the end of Poch's reign. I think they're just a bit more resigned to maybe Pellegrini going or I don't know. But let's start at the beginning. Let's talk about formation. Let's talk about selection. Lee, over to you first. He didn't go too crazy in his changes, but he did bring in Eric Dier for Sissoko. Sissoko did have international duty, but it did look like it was a swap, basically. Were you surprised at that? I mean, he's tried to buy Dier a few times, supposedly, so we shouldn't really be too surprised. But that said, he must have seen Dier play and realised that he's not a particularly good footballer. Oh, maybe we don't know. I don't know. So what were your thoughts on the setup for the game on Saturday lunchtime?
Yeah, do you know what? I was happy with it. And I'll tell you why I was happy. It's because he didn't do... whether people think he's a tactical genius or, you know, he pulls off these master strokes, he actually just looked to what he's got and went with it. And by that, I mean, he said, I've got a left back and a right back, and he put them both in. I've got two centre backs, and he put them both in. He said, I've got a central defensive midfielder. He put him in. I've got two wide players who play at their best when they're wide. They put them in, and he took a number 10, and he put them in the number 10 position and played it all behind one of the best centre forwards in the world. It didn't need to be anything. It was no masterstroke. It was all just very basic. And it leaves you scratching your head a little bit as to why Poch was trying 101 different things. Why was Ali pulled out to the left? And why was Lucas trying to play as a centre forward? And why was Dier being stuck? You know, it was, he just came in. He said, this is what they do. This is what they're best at. This is what they're known for. And I know Dyer's coming for a bit of stick, but I wasn't too unhappy to see him start because that's his position. That's his role. That's what he does. And he's coming back from injury. He's not match fit. And we'll get on to last night's game. And, you know, and Mourinho showed what he'll do if it doesn't work. But he's gone with a 4-4-1-1. And he put the players in the right positions. End of story. It just wasn't it wasn't in-depth. There's no tactical genius to it. It was just what everybody's been looking at for the last 3 months, maybe. Again, why is he playing there? Why is he playing there?
So it was interesting. I don't know if you saw the Monday Night Football analysis of this, Kofi, but they said that basically Davies was pretty much behind the halfway line when we were in possession and Aurier was ahead of it. So, in fact, it was Son on the left, Aurier on the right, and then Moura was a little bit sort of like that Moura and Ali were like two number 10s almost, just a little bit, like almost in line with the sort of six-yard box, as it were. Because a lot of the time you found that Dali Ali's possession was picked up in and around that pocket to the left, which was quite interesting. And that was quite a good spot, I thought, by Carragher. Were you surprised at the selection as well? And were you impressed with the performance? And I think, obviously, you know, you've got to think about the opposition that you're playing, because West Ham were pretty poor. They gave us so much space. And so you have to realise that, you know, even you can only play it with who's in front of you, and I completely get that. But I think we were helped in the sort of opposition that we were up against. Even though it was on paper an incredibly hard game for us because they hate us, but they didn't offer much really, did they?
I feel we were fortunate because, yes, on paper, it's not the game anyone would want for a new manager and the teams of playing under new management, as it were. But, yeah, West Ham didn't play so well. It was really interesting about the fullbacks because for the past few years, we have been playing our fullbacks very high up the pitch. We've relied on our centre-backs and defensive midfields to defend while the fullbacks have gone marauding. What I've noticed in the last two games is that the fullbacks are playing a little bit more in a fullback position rather than a wing-back position. But it has been skewed, whereby Aurier is a bit further forward. And as you say, Dele is playing in the position that he likes to play in. Not only does he like to play number 10, but he likes to come in from the left. And then, you know, he's open for that right foot reverse pass or the right foot shot. So what Jose has done is play people in their positions, which has been fantastic. I thought it was good that he played Moura and Son, because a typical Mourinho side, you could imagine, wouldn't have had that many forward-thinking players. But what he's done is said, right, you guys go and play and everyone else sit in and get the ball forward quickly. That was something I thought was really interesting, because something we've definitely seen with Poch's teams is playing from the back. And playing from the back can be great. You know, when you've got possession, you're keeping possession, it's brilliant. You're not picking it up the pitch and the ball is coming straight back at you. But we had been getting boxed in at the back a few times. There were times when we've been playing the ball around the box and teams have been pressing us and we've been making silly errors. Certainly what we've seen against West Ham is that the goalkeeper's either, you know, kicking it up the pitch from directly from his hands, or we're getting the ball up the park quickly, which all bodes well, because once you get it to the guys up front, magic can happen.
It was quite a long ball, to be honest. I think that's the only way you could describe it a lot of time. And it was, yeah, I mean, it was an interesting new change, I think. In terms of Dele Alli, John, obviously we heard about the fact that he said, you know, are you Dele Alli or are you Dele Alli's brother? This magic, you know, wonderful, you know, form of psychology that he pulled out. Was it just a case of him playing in a 10 and having space, because he was had so much space? And, you know, did you think that Ali seems to me a confidence player as well. And he's even said recently he thinks he's having a decent season. But I just think he just looked like his tail was up a little bit. And maybe that's just come from having a bit more belief from his manager than maybe Pochettino was giving him in recent months. What do you think?
Yeah, with Dele Alli, I've always felt, you know, I remember saying it before last time I was on a podcast, he's a little bit like, not the same player as Roy Keane, but he's that player. You get Dele Alli on the edge, that's when you're getting the best Dele Alli, you know, with a bit of narc and a bit of fight and a bit of desire and just going around just causing problems. And, you know, everything that he did well came out of his work rate more than anything. You know, he was getting himself into positions. He was hunting down their fullbacks and pressurising, which is, you know, it's what a Pochettino team was doing 2 or 3 years ago. Mm. I think he might have well done that, because, you know, Mourinho's had the chat with him. And, I was saying to one of my friends, I'd have been saying exactly the same friend. That, you know, are you going to step up, lad? Do you know what I mean? At the moment, you're getting pumped by Mason Mount and James Maddison. You know, who are you? Stand up and be counted.
Mm.
Because if you want to play with the big boys, then this is your level. Let's do it. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time.
Yeah, and it seemed to work. It seemed to work. There was a little bit of spark about him, which has been missing. And I mean, that flick for obviously for the the second goal from Moura was just that, the flick from Ali when he was on the floor. That was just incredible. That was absolutely incredible. I think also Son's pass for that goal is sort of almost not really even mentioned. Like, it's on his left peg. He's just so two-footed that you don't even think about it. I mean, that was just an incredible cross. No. Literally right onto Moura's toe.
There's another element to it as well, and that is that Son kept running. So Dele's on the floor and Son's thinking, I know what he's going to do here. And he kept moving, kept charging forward, which is brilliant.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it goes for the whole team. You know, I'm a believer that this is top level football. You know, all of these guys can all play. They've all got ability. And we know that our team, especially our starting 11, they've all got great ability. So if they're putting in that extra 20%, you know, as opposed to maybe last week or the week before, not truly believing in what they're doing, not really having a plan, like Lee said, you know, too many square pegs in round holes, you know, and it creates a little bit of a lack of belief and a little bit of lack of desire. Don't really know what the manager's thinking. Your level's going to drop.
Yeah. You know, but I think it's to do with faith, isn't it? It's to do with faith in terms of you need to have faith in your manager to do a job. And if you think that he's not managing to do his best job and that involves you, I think then you are going to be maybe a little bit less than enthusiastic. And I think, Lee, you sent me a couple of stills through to the show WhatsApp during the game with regards to Aurier's positioning. So let's talk about Serge, because obviously he did come up with a cracker of a cross for Kane's goal. We do know that he's got that in his locker. Unfortunately, we do know that he also isn't the most defensive minded, and he can be a bit rash. So what were your thoughts on his performance as a whole in the game?
I mean, well, while still in the West Ham mode, like I said, like we've raised about them, they weren't particularly great for a start. And you can see the way we set up that he was the higher out of the two fullbacks. And again, just going back to Mourinho's tactics, I think he looks at it. And it's not overly genius. Danny Rose can't particularly cross. Davis can't particularly cross. Aurier can swing a cross in for fun. You know, he actually can cross. I get on him, but I get on him for good reason, because his job, actually, in all fairness, isn't to be swinging crosses in. His job is to be a defender. And that's when I lost my mind on Saturday, just because of his positional sense for that second goal. I mean, don't get me wrong, I can't remember the West Ham player. Shouldn't have turned Sissoko there or so close to the touchline. But Aurier, not to be actually covering behind him, you know, defending your goal, cutting the goal off, cutting the route to the goal off, it's elementary. It's schoolboy stuff. You know, you've got a player out on the wing. He gets past your right midfielder. He's going to cut in and head towards your goal. Then you cut him off. If you're stood there, you send him actually back towards the halfway line and, you know, you walk your line up. It was horrible. It's horrible.
Is that a positional thing or is that just an effort thing? Because we've spoken about it before. There was a Southampton game. There was the Munich game at home where he's been criticised for literally just jogging back and not getting in position. Yeah. And no, Sissoko covering for him many times. And, you know, so is it a fact that he might know where he needs to go, but he just can't be bothered?
Well, I think at that stage of the game, you've got to be seeing out the game. You know, it's probably about the last couple of minutes and they actually got their tails up a little bit. We had no need to be flying forward. So he shouldn't have been more advanced than Sissoko anyway. He shouldn't have been as close to the edge of the 18-yard box as he was. So for me, it just comes down to actual intelligence and the football brain, just thinking about it. His positional sense was terrible. But you're right. In other games, he's been hugely criticised for his lack of effort in terms of getting back and covering, and that is going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. If you look at the Reds at the top of the table, they got two fullbacks who, if you play the right way against them, you fully expose their defensive abilities because they're not the most cleverest of fullbacks. But damn, they're pretty damn good at going forward. And they deliver quality balls. So it then comes down to the donkey they got in the middle of the park, dragging his ass across left to right, and whoever else wants to go in with him to cover them and help them. And you will see Henderson when Robertson or Alexander Arnold are getting done up in that corner, Henderson will be stuck behind him. If they're getting done in the corner, he'll be sat in behind them. It's just a lack of football. There's a lack of football brain there. But I get what Mourinho's done already, and he's used him in an advanced position and use his strength. But we need to be careful against better opposition.
Yeah, definitely. Kofi, what are your thoughts on Moura's performance on Saturday? Because obviously, as we said, given the opportunity to start, which Pochettino was quite hesitant to do, it seemed. For me, he just seemed to, I don't know, obviously he got his goal and it was great. I mean, he had a terrible, terrible effort on goal for the one-on-one. I mean, that was like one of the worst. And, you know, you could say that maybe he, I don't think he was caught in two minds, but I think Ali might have put him off a little bit. But God almighty, that was a shocker of a shot. And that would have literally killed the game off, obviously, as we still did score a third one anyway. But what are your thoughts on performance? I still find that when he's getting the ball, his touch isn't what it needs to be in terms of it. The ball seems to be bouncing off him a little bit. And he sometimes might win possession back because obviously he's quick-footed. But I just think sometimes he just needs to be a little bit stronger. And his first touch or his first like layoff needs to be that little bit better for the Premier League. What do you think?
I think it's good for him that he got his goal because it makes the performance better than I think it actually was. And, you know, he did well. He got there, got onto the end of the cross, put the effort in, which is brilliant. But I think there's a couple of things. I agree with you completely. The ball does bounce off him sometimes. But also, I think when he has got the ball and he picks it up, he runs down a lot of blind alleys. I think he relies on the fact that he has got quick feet and he might be able to get round players. But once you've done two players, don't just run down a blind alley to try and take on the third. Look up and look for a pass. So I think sometimes he tries to do too much. Sometimes, you know, you're willing him to do something, but he's lost control of it. So I think the goal makes him look better than he was on Saturday.
John, do you think the finish to the game, with the fact that we almost, you know, there's potential that we could have even drawn the game, which should never have ever been the case. Was that a worry to you? I mean, Mourinho basically said that it was down to fatigue from a lot of the players that had international duty during the week. But it also just looked like, as Lee said, there was just some poor defending, like just a couple of players just switched off. And, you know, the guy shouldn't be scoring from a volley at that space in the 6-yard box.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I just think, you know, obviously they got their goal and I think they just reverted back to type of how we've been pretty much defensively this season. You know, just too many simple mistakes and just not doing the basics right. Like, as I said, Aurier, you know, he's got to get round to Sissoko there. You know, this is like Sunday league football business here. You know, you have to get round, you know, and I just think, yeah, and then it just seemed like a little bit of a panic up, you know, and holding on, which has happened a number of times this season. So not fully in control, but we got through it. So I suppose that's all that matters. And I think that's something that Mourinho will identify and he'll be, you know, drilling them players about their positional play. And hopefully the mistakes, they won't creep in because it, yeah, I mean, like I said, a couple of years ago, you know, we were pressing hard, we were working hard, and we had the best defensive record in the league. But, you know, all of our, you know, our fullbacks and our two centre backs, they knew exactly where they were supposed to be. So, yeah, hopefully that's something they can work on because, you know, you can say, barring probably Toby, all three of those other players, you know, your Aurier, your Sanchez, and whether it be Rose or Davis, you know, they've been caught out of position quite a few times now. So hopefully, as I said, it's something they can work on.
I was talking in the paper today. I mean, it was in a tabloid that Ricardo Pereira is one of Mourinho's targets if he gets some money in January. I mean, who knows? Who knows what Levy's going to do? I think that's going to be a really, really interesting topic. But we did extend our winning run at the London Stadium, whatever you want to call that we extended it to four wins, and their longest winning streak is three. So I think we should all be very, very happy. So time now to talk about the Olympiacos victory last night. It was a good game. It was a good game. It was definitely shouldn't have been that close, even though it wasn't that close in the end. Some shocking defending for the first two goals. Absolutely terrible. If you look at Gazzaniga's position, it's not good enough, I don't think. And even when he actually gets his fingers, it tips to that first shot. It was a good strike. But I mean, the challenges on him to begin with are just like, you just can't have them. And then the second goal, I don't know what Winks is doing. I don't know what Rose is doing. I mean, Rose is going to be covering that near post. He does an Aurier. He completely switches off. I don't think he knows what he's doing. It really literally honestly looked like he just didn't have a clue. Because if he is doing that front post, he has to go forward and clear the ball. That's his job. And he stood there and the ball just went a little bit ahead of him. Winks missed it, and then that really, really annoying centre-back scored, the one who got done in the goal mouth and then got left for dead, and then everyone was booing, and then he trotted around the stadium, and then he started playing again. Oh, my God, I hate that kind of rubbish. So, referring to the lineup, it was the same lineup. Were you surprised, John, that he went for the same again? Obviously, it didn't last very long because he hooked Dyer off after 29 minutes, which we'll come to later, but... Were you happy with to see that again, or would you have wanted a little bit of a change, a little bit of a spice up after the victory on Saturday, or were you happy to see a bit of consistency?
No, it didn't surprise me at all. I think Mourinho's one of the managers. I think he likes to play an 11, and also I think he needs to have a look at what he's got. So it didn't surprise me at all that he went out with the same lineup again. It didn't surprise me. I know we're going to speak about it in a minute, but it didn't surprise me that he made the change early either. He was prone to doing it at Chelsea. And I saw it as a massive positive myself.
Yeah, I think the fact that he made a change, I think we could definitely all realise that Pochettino was like a 65-minute 70 man. Like, he did not like the change. Unless we were getting completely stuffed, he would maybe make a halftime change, but normally he would tweak stuff on the field. He might move someone back, he might swap people over, but he would rarely actually change the personnel. So I get that. Obviously, it was a bold move, but for me, Dyer shouldn't have been playing in the first place because I don't think he's good enough. So it's almost like he was just rectifying his own lineup mistakes in my eyes. And obviously, we're at home, we're going to have more of the ball. We didn't really need to have that player. We didn't need that defensive player, I don't think, against the Olympiacos team. We aren't going to offer that much. You know, we needed more creativity because they were obviously going to sit back. And so obviously Eriksen came on. I thought he did okay. I didn't think he did amazingly. He definitely hit the first man on a corner a couple of times, which I couldn't believe. Oh, I could believe, to be fair. But obviously, great assist for Kane's header. And the free kick, I still haven't really seen... The replay of the free kick to know whether it was close or not. It seemed like it was quite close, but I don't know. I'm not sure how it worked out. So, Lee, what were your thoughts on the game as a whole?
Yeah, I just disappointed with the two goals that we conceded. I thought we'd still be on a little bit of a high from Saturday, so I thought we'd start a little bit more positively. But we just kind of got caught a bit cold, and they were poor goals to give away. But park that for a second, and you just kind of got to look at the way we went about our business after. You know, the goals went in, and actually, they went in, and I sat there, watched it, and I didn't think we was going to lose.
I didn't the whole game, actually. I didn't think that at all. We were checking on the betting things, and it was, I think, 3-2 was only like 6-1 or something. I think the win when we were 2-0 down was 12-5. So I thought it was going to happen. Do you think that if we hadn't have got that goal just before halftime, which obviously just changed the game completely, and also when you do receive such a big slice of fortune as we did with that attempt at a clearance, you just think it's your day. Everyone thought that, I think, when we came down for a beer, it was like, that's it, pretty much, even though we were still losing. Like, it just felt inevitable, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the goal just before half time is absolutely is what is kind of what the doctor ordered right there and then. If we didn't get it, I still wouldn't have been surprised if we had nabbed a 90th minute winner. I thought if we didn't score at half time, I thought 2-2 was always going to be on the cards. And if we got that second one, I think Mourinho would have gone all out for the winner anyway to just guarantee qualification. So I thought we did some things quite well. Once the goals went in, I thought we kind of woke up. We moved the ball around. Did he rectify his own mistake? Yeah, possibly. Did we need Dyer out there again? He's probably gone with trying to, you know, just be safe. Try and be safe first. And once the two goals go in and we give them away the way we did, he's then got to hook him off, you know. And
I just felt like it was, you know, what Sissoko's been so good at for us is basically that transition from box to box, you know. And Winks doesn't really offer that. And he was very sideways last night. He's sometimes not, but I felt he was. And so he wasn't offering us much going forward. So we needed that, I think. And for me, I just don't understand how he can think that Dyer will bring something to the team more than Sissoko would. I just do not get it. Sissoko is like 10 times the player Dyer is in my eyes. And maybe I'm being overly critical, or you feel free to say that's the case.
I think you might grow on him. I think you might grow on him, Noel. I think it's just one of those. He's seen Dyer. I think what people forget as well, in the last international tournament, Dyer was one of the best holding midfielders in and around England. And he's had a bit of a shocker since there through injuries and loss of form. And he's been caught up in a squad where we're chucking centre-backs to right-backs, centre-mids to right-mids, right-mids to centre-forwards, centre-forwards to number 10s. You know, the only thing we ain't done is try Hugo up front. So at some point, you know, it's got to take its toll on. It will take its toll on players. You're talking about squads, and you're talking about the way people challenge each other. I want to be challenged by, if I'm a right back, I want to be challenged by a right back. If I'm sat there at training every day and I'm Serge Aurier, I want to be challenged by KWP. I don't want to be challenged by Sissoko. That had a massive effect on a lot of players within that squad as well. And, you know, I know people love Poch and we love what he's done for us, but that sort of man management will knock a player for six as well. So you're talking about players playing in your position that ain't even in your position. You know, it will kill a player. I wouldn't write Dyer off, and I certainly wouldn't write him off under Mourinho, who's obviously got a thing for him and thinks that he can get the best out of him again. And, you know, like JJ said as well, he's having a look at players. So two games back-to-back wasn't the worst call. You know, it wasn't the worst call because I wouldn't have started Moura. You know, I wouldn't have started Moura. I know you picked up on it in the West Ham game. I didn't think Moura was amazing. He looked a bit shy of match fitness as well.
Yeah.
But I would say I thought Lo Celso looked a whole lot fit.
I think Lo Celso should feel pretty hard done by, to be fair, because arguably he's been our best player in the past couple of matches up to Mourinho's appointment. So I think that was frustrating for me, I thought. Him and obviously he chose to bring on Eriksen. We could have brought on Lo Celso last night. One thing that was really frustrating me, Kofi, was Sanchez's distribution. I mean, I know he's not a passer, I completely get that, but he was putting others, he was almost doing suicide passes every time he passed the ball because he was so lacking in confidence of him being able to do anything more than just a simple pass. He was passing it into players who were basically marked. And I swear to God, it was happening all the time and it was freaking me out and it was really, really stressing me out. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was just like, you can't do that. You cannot do that. And it was happening so often. And I just, oh man, it was like when he played right back against Arsenal, it was a similar kind of thing. He was getting the ball and they were almost saying, you know, have it, what are you going to do with it? And he was like, well, I don't want it, so I'm going to give it to Toby, but Toby's got someone up his ass. And I'm going to give it into Wiggs, but he's got two players on him, but I don't want it, type thing. And I was just like, oh my word, I don't know what to do. It just killed me. Absolutely killed me. I don't know what your thoughts were, but I'm still getting over it, to be honest.
I think maybe he thinks he's Hugo Sanchez, but, you know, not quite really. I think what was bad, apart from the misplaced passes. He was running forward and then playing a misplaced pass, which means he himself is out of position when the other team are coming towards us. I think, you know, Winks is a good player. I think he gets maligned a lot and sort of bizarrely compared to Vinny Sideways, which I don't think is really fair. I think he's a very tidy player, and I think he was one player that was making himself available. He was running around the park, and Sanchez should have looked for him, get the ball into Winks, and, you know, he'll either drop it back or he'll turn and he'll try and play it into midfield. I think, you know, that's his role, and he does play that really well. So I think don't try to do what Toby does. And Toby plays, you know, that great crossfield ball. Just play a simple pass. You're absolutely right. It's scary, but Jan was on the bench, and hopefully he'll be back soon.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So we've got to talk about Serge Aurier, John, because obviously he scored a cracker. Then he had it was an angry confrontation with the fans. He said he didn't spit. He did spit, but I don't think he spat at the fans. He just spat, you could tell. And then he was obviously angry. He was obviously, you know, frustrated maybe at some of the criticism that we received. But that was an absolute peach of a strike. I mean, Lee mentioned it earlier on in terms of, like, he's not good at defending, but he's good at crossing. So maybe we just keep him up there. Maybe we don't even let him defend.
Yeah, that's
that was
it.
That was like the Harry Kane shot against Arsenal that he hit the post. Like, that was like such a sweet strike. It's hard to do.
They're always nice when they zing in the bottom corner.
Oh man,
they?
The replay. Everyone was watching the replay. It was like, it was like,
ask him to tuck around and get in behind, and it's all Greek to him, isn't it?
This is my problem. What do we do? Is Mourinho the answer then? Do you think he's going to be able to somehow mould him into one of the finest right backs in the land?
Well, yeah. God, we could be here a while answering that one. His positional play. I was thinking, Matt, you know, I mean, for me, that was a definite penalty first half. You know, because he got caught out of play, out of position, and all of a sudden he's had to sprint back in. He's all off guard. He clumsy tackle.
In the West Ham game, we're talking about. I don't think it was a penalty personally, but yeah, you. I remember you saying at the time you thought it was.
Yeah. So, you know, this is what he's capable of, and usually it's won a game. And, you know, like I said, like, you know, I was listening to TalkSport the other day and listening to Danny Murphy. I think Danny Murphy talks a lot of sense, you know. And he said, you know, you can't have your fullbacks making three or four mistakes like that in a season if you're going to challenge, you know, top four, if you're really, really going to be up there and challenging. And, you know, we're just making December now, and he's already made, you know, four or five of them already.
Mm.
Yeah. So Mourinho's going to have to seriously do some work on him. I can't imagine Pochettino not trying to do that work on him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, is he capable of listening? I mean, he just seems to kind of just do his own thing, which at this level ain't really acceptable. You know, you want to believe of him because you know he's got quality, but does the footballing brain, does that let him down? Is that not enough?
So we're through anyway. I mean, I think we're through even if we drew at the time. With a quick view to obviously the Bayern Munich game that I think quite a lot of us are going out to. Do you think that's an opportunity to you know, change the team a little bit, get a few youngsters blooded into the Champions League, or do you just want to try and get a result there and, you know, just get a normal squad, maintain the confidence in the team, Lee?
I don't think it's about trying to blood anybody at this point now.
Is it risking injury though coming up to the Christmas period? No,
possibly.
Got to think about that.
Yeah, but in terms of, you know, you say blooding, I mean, we've got probably by then, you know, Lo Celso should be in and around that 11, playing a few matches. Sessegnon may well, you know, be in and about that, getting a few matches. So I'd imagine there's probably four or five players. We ain't really seen Ndombele since Jose's arrival. You know, so there's got to be players around. So I'd imagine on the night that maybe a few not so regular ones at the moment will get a run out, but I don't think there'll be any names that will shock us. You know, we make sure we do ourselves proud over there on the back of the home game. But yeah, not risk all. So yeah, I listen, Jose's a winner as well. That's the other thing. You know, his pride's firmly intact. He's fully aware that he was playing his 149th or managing his 149th Champion League match last night, and that was his 8th victory. And he let everybody know that. So, you know, when it comes, he still chucks those little bits in. He's a winner. He's a winner, and he won't. There's none of this kind of just resting a load of players. I think he'll approach every game like it matters, because he really wants to win something.
It was so weird seeing him on the touchline like that first time, because obviously he wasn't introduced. He was just there. And then it was just like, just looking down there, it was just like, oh man, this is a very, very strange. Very, very strange. It did take a while to get used to, and I'm not even sure if it did. But anyway, we got the victory in the end. So yeah, fair play. Well done, boys. So we had the first release of the first part of our Clive Allen video. It was released this morning on YouTube, so please do check it out. It's the Thing I Love Most show on YouTube, and we shared it on social media as well. It was really, really great to meet Clive. He's an absolute legend, and he spoke for quite at length. So we've got about an hour and 20 in total. So the first one's about 20 minutes long. And it just sort of explains his sort of like getting into football, his family, obviously, because there's loads of Allens. I didn't realise there's so many of them. And just some really, really good insights into his life as a footballer. So please do check it out. So like I said, it's available on our YouTube channel, The Thing I Love Most Show. So, lads, let's talk about Saturday. Let's talk about Bournemouth. What are you expecting from the game? Are you expecting the same team again? You think he's going to literally go the same team? Obviously, there was one change last night, which I forgot to mention earlier on, which was obviously Davies was injured, so Rose has come in. What do you think about the lineup? Is Sessegnon, do you think, going to get an opportunity? Do you think Lo Celso is going to come in? What are we expecting from the lineup, Lee?
Something tells me he's going to keep it very, very similar to what we've seen. And it wouldn't surprise me if Dyer was put back in. I wouldn't be too surprised by that. It looks like he's going for a bit of consistency. It looks like he's trying to get some of these players that have been on the periphery a little bit sharper match-wise. And he's looking like he wants to impact the games when necessary from the bench. So I don't think it'd be too much different. I don't envision any changes to the back four.
Do you think Sessegnon is an option at left back if Davies is injured and Rose does seem to be quite out of form? Obviously, Sessegnon, when he came on against Red Star, he played further forward. He's played both for Fulham. Do you think he could? Do you think Mourinho might see him as that?
I think he'll give it a whirl. One thing he wouldn't do is he wouldn't be afraid to do it. You know, he wouldn't be afraid to try him there. So, you know, you got to remember when he's at United and he chucked Luke Shaw under the bus, didn't he? He coached him for one half from the touchline, young Luke Shaw. So, look, I think if somebody's capable, he'll give him a game. So, I wouldn't be too surprised to see Sessegnon in a round there. And I wouldn't be too surprised to see Walker Peters there either. You know, it was the first change to the bench was Mourinho's first change to the bench was adding Walker Peters back onto that bench against West Ham.
Wasn't there last night though?
No, but he obviously reached into the freezer and pulled the poor lad out. Got the code off Poch. But no, he's I don't envision too many changes. I think the back four will stay the same. The front four will stay the same. So it's going to all hinge around what he does in the middle there, really. So is it going to be Winks and Dyer again, or will he be brave and attack and go with Winks and number 23?
Or Sissoko and Ndombele, because Ndombele came on.
He did, yeah. I'd like to think that he rates Ndombele. I'd like to think that he rates him. I'm just going with the fact that he just hasn't seen enough of them yet, up close and personal. So I think he'll keep it. I think he'll keep the consistency there, and then start making his changes bit by bit.
What sort of opposition are we facing in Bournemouth at the moment, Kofi? Because they seem to be quite hit and miss. They're sort of like defensively a little bit suspect. They're decent going forward. Obviously, they've got some some good strikers, but they just don't seem to be really like as a sort of maybe as much as a force as they were in recent seasons.
Oh, yeah. In previous seasons, they've been, you know, great football inside and difficult to play against. And I think they're a great team for us to play this weekend because they'll come to play. Eddie Howe always puts his teams out to play football. So hopefully, you know, we'll find some gaps in that. They're certainly not the kind of team that's going to come and just sit in. So it's going to allow us to play our football as well, which is great. I think we're still a little bit leaky at the back. So
do you think Vertonghen will come in for Sanchez?
I think he will. I think, you know, West Ham, he wasn't there. He was on the bench against Olympiacos. And I think he will come in, definitely. Apart from, you know, some of the bad distribution, Vertonghen's a better player. And Vertonghen and Toby playing together is a partnership that everyone can see. So I'm sure that will happen. So we should be a bit stronger, but Bournemouth can score goals. So, you know, I think they're a good team for us to play because it'll be an open game and there'll be goals.
What are we thinking prediction-wise then, lads? John, I'm going to start with you, Mr. Oracle. What are we thinking? What score are we going to go for?
I'm going to go with 3-1 Tottenham Hotspur.
3-1 Tottenham Hotspur. Okay, good stuff. I like that. Nice and confident. Lee, you're nodding your head. Are you in agreement? You're going to go 3-1 as well, aren't you? I can tell.
I am. I'm all over that. I think defensively we'll have them. I don't think they're defensively strong enough. And the way those our front four have clicked and have given that been extra bit of freedom, I think we're going to have them up for goals. And I think we learn one lesson from the last two games and only concede one this time.
Fingers crossed. That would be nice. Yes, four goals conceded in the first two games. That is quite a lot. So, Kofi, what are we going for prediction-wise, buddy? Don't say 3-1.
4-1.
4-1.
Oh, yeah. I think Kane...
I wish the listeners could see his face right now. It's very, very worrying.
Actually licks his lips. 4-1 and a lick of the lips.
Especially because I think you're lying down. I'm like, what is going on? What have you got underneath you? That's what I'm worried about. Jeez. 4-1. Okay, cool. All right, I'm going to move on from that before our listeners switch off. Okay, cool. I'm going to go for 2-1. That's obviously what I always go for. So I'm boring me. Boring me. Boring me. No, get a life. Okay, I'm sorry. But yeah, I just think, to be fair, it could easily be 3-1. But I'm going to get it stick with 2-1. Nice one. All right, gents, thank you very much for taking part once again. Been a pleasure to have you all on and nice to have some positive news to talk about for a change. So obviously we've got a nice game on Saturday to look forward to. So enjoy your weekend. I think I'm going to see most of you down there anyway. So it's going to be good to see you and catch up. And we will see, we will be speaking to you guys at the beginning of next week. Once again, as I said, the video is out there to see the first part of the Clive Allen video. So please do check it out. Share it with your friends. We are The Thing I Love Most Show. We are available on all social medias. TTILM Show on Instagram and on Twitter. And then The Thing I Love Most Show on Facebook and on YouTube. Thank you very much to all of our guests tonight. And we will see you again next week. Nice one, guys. Enjoy. Good evening. Once again, come on, you Spurs.